Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio, a place where like-minded people from across the country come to listen, share, and learn from topics that deal with their health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. You can participate by sharing your comments or questions from the Richer Life blog page or chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife, or by using the phone to call in. Let's join the show.
Well, hello. I am Earl Cobb. Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio and the final episode of our People Who Inspire Us series. As you know, during this series, we have been sharing with you interviews from gifted authors and speakers who have messages that inspire us and a multitude of people from many walks of life. Now, unfortunately, Charlotte's not going to be able to join us here on the show tonight, but we do have another insightful show planned for you this evening. We are just excited to share an interview tonight that we recorded earlier this month with Kunze Berhausen and her daughter, Nina. Now, Kunze is the gifted author of 5 published books. She splits her time between Tucson, Arizona, and Chatham, Massachusetts. Her home in Chatham is on a saltwater marsh. It is her many years, she tells me, of watching wildlife out her back window that has inspired her to write about the habitat and the animals. Now, her daughter Nina provides the breathtaking illustrations included in all of her books. Nina is a graphic design artist, and Nina lives in California. Together, they make an amazing and inspiring team. Let's listen to our interview with Kunze and Nina, and then we'll return and talk about the inspirational magic of Mother Nature and how it inspires all of us. Hello, Kunze. Hello, Nina.
Hello.
Hello, Earl.
Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio. You know, during this series, we're talking about people who inspire us. And tonight's focus is the inspirational magic of Mother Nature. Now, by Mother Nature, we are referring to all of the natural forces and the wonders of the physical world collectively, including plants, animals, the landscape, and other features and products of the earth that affect all of us as human beings in so many different ways. I have had the pleasure to read all 5 of your published books and have enjoyed the inspiring messages and the equally inspiring illustrations. Now, even though most of your books are targeted at younger readers, it is obvious that based on the topics you choose to write about, such as the saltwater marsh and the Sonoran Desert, and the way your words and your art seem to dance together on the pages, you two have a special relationship with each other, with Mother Nature's magic, and with the knowledge of how books can inspire all of us. So let's start our interview there. Would each of you share with our audience the primary messages that you are attempting to convey in both your narrative and your illustrations? Connie, why don't you go first?
Thanks, Earl. I think the word you used, I'm going to repeat, which is inspiration. As a child and through my whole adult life, I continue to be inspired by Mother Nature, the environments we live in, the different habitats, the wildlife, the wonderful varied animals that we share this earth with. And I have found that that is the perfect setting to meet my children with when I write my books, because I think children just naturally love wildlife and they love animals. They love to go outdoors. So I think my first message with my books is an appreciation to help foster and instill an appreciation with children of the different habitats and where they might live, and the animals that are their neighbors, and some of them are their friends. And I think the second level of my books is, and I hope parents, and I know teachers use it sometimes in life skill classes, how can we appreciate the differences that we have with our animals around? How can we respect each other? How can we live on this earth together? And an even bigger picture is, and how do we do that as people? We may not have feathers versus scales versus fur, but we have different personalities. We have different ideas. We're different genders. We're different shapes. And, you know, we have many differences, and how do we respect that and get along in this kind of marvelous world that we live in?
Very good. Very good. Nina?
I completely agree. I am growing up with parents that really instill a love of nature in me has been one of the most important parts of my life. And getting to, you know, show my love of nature through colored pencil and watercolor and things like that has been really enriching. And I can't imagine my life without nature. I've always been raised to take a moment and appreciate it and take a moment to be spontaneous and really explore all that life has to give. And to be able to capture that within words, within just line and color is really exciting, and we've just loved doing it. It's just a complete blast for us, and like my mom said, it's so important to, you know, reflect on how everyone is different and how all animals are different and how we need each other and how we enrich each other's lives, and it's just been really special to be able to convey that within our books.
Very good. Now, for our audience who's not familiar with your work, Kunsi writes wonderful narratives about all the things that she just talked about. You know, I mentioned earlier about saltwater marshes and Sonoran Desert. They've got some wonderful books based on a real experience of a shark actually being beached on the beach there near their home back in the Cape Cod area. And just the imagination that was put into it is just wonderful. And the inspiration, I tell you, are really buried in both the words and the illustration. And Nina, it just seems like, you know, you guys work so well together, because when I look at the illustrations in the book and I see the pages and the words, it seems like, now, how do you do that? Do you script that, or does the words come first and the illustrations come after? How does that work?
So, Kunsi? My mom starts with my mom starts with the words. So she writes the words, mm-hmm. She makes the manuscript, and then she gives that to me. So that's really the foundation. And we both really respect each other's creative processes. So, you know, she takes that time, the time that she needs to really figure out, you know, where the story is going to go and what the message that she wants to convey. And then once she's given that to me, she really gives me a lot of free rein just to kind of play with my imagination and take words and imagine what this story is going to be like as it comes to life. And working together is just honestly so easy and lovely. I think really stay in our own lanes and respect each other's work. It's been really wonderful, and we have a blast. It's just so much fun.
That's cool. Kunsi.
Well, Nina's right. She makes sure that my manuscript is complete. I'm allowed edits after, but she wants me to be completely done because that helps her creative process. And at first that was hard for me. I wanted to say, Nina, I think I'm doing this. How about that? And she goes, don't tell me, finish it. And then I will do my magic. And you know, our first two books, The Saltwater Marsh, A Magical Place, and The Sonoran Desert, A Magical Place, really is geared for very little people, like preschoolers, probably to second grade or first grade, to talk about what habitat was and how there, what differences there are in the animals in it. It's more descriptive, whereas the next three books are all stories, and two of them are marine wildlife rescues that are true. But and actually Nina is the star of one of them.
Right.
But we really, you know, I can't draw. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to ask you if you would share a few words from one of the books to give our audience a little insight on your thoughts and how, you know, kids view you guys.
Oh, sure. But first, I just wanted to finish saying that
mm-hmm.
I cannot draw a straight or crooked line. I am not an artist, so it is not my gift, and I'm delighted that Nina has the gift. And Nina, luckily, conversely, does not want to write any rhyming word or any verse. So, no, I'd be happy. One of my latest book, Jameson, A Shark Returns, which is a
mm-hmm.
continued story from a shark named Jameson, although it stands on its own as a book. But I would say my theme is this. A whale, gull, and shark seem unlikely friends, but success in friendship really depends on accepting the traits of one another and treating them like a sister or brother.
That's neat. You know, that really leads us into what I wanted to spend at least a couple of more minutes that we have left here talking about. You know, you hear this word privilege a lot, okay, in different contexts. And for me, having grown up in the South and in the country and have been blessed to live in places like Arizona and Washington State and just see the natural deserts and just see what Mother Nature and its variations is all about, you know, I really think that the most privilege that some of us have, and I wish everyone had it, was the opportunity to be able to live and see Mother Nature in that fashion. Can you imagine growing up in city or urban areas where you don't get away or can't afford to get away and visit parks and do things like that? How much is sort of missing, you know, in terms of one's view of life? And I just think that is something that, in general, somehow in this country, we should just really go at trying to expose more of America to. Your thoughts there?
I totally agree. It's funny, when I was thinking of presenting these, I was the latest book, Jameson, A Shark Returns, is about migration with three creatures. And I was thinking of how fortunate I am in my life now to live in two distinct environments, the Sonoran Desert and the East Coast. And I was
mm-hmm.
thinking about the kids who live in cities, and be it Boston or New York or any big city. And I was thinking, you know, even with their limit of they can't go out much, if you put them on a concrete slab and you give them sand and water, they're going to play and dig in that dirt. And it's so natural to children and who they are to be part of the environment, that I totally agree with you. We've got to get these kids into nature, and really, I agree, that's really important. And hopefully my books will give them some teachable moments and let them look at it, but to get out there is really the purpose.
Absolutely, and when I go through your last two books, Jameson and Jameson Returns, you know, with the water and everything, Nina, how do you get those scenes to look so realistic? I mean, it's like being out there in the ocean.
Well, it's definitely a bit of trial and error, but spending so much of my childhood in the water has made a huge impact on my artwork, and watercolor really comes to life and takes on its own form as the ocean. And as a child, my parents both read me tons of children's books, and just being inspired by other books and stories and being really transported through these places that, you know, like you were mentioning, not every child gets to experience these kind of places. Right. Not every child gets to experience the same type of nature. And that's one thing that my mom and I really want to emphasize in these books is that, you know, like you can read a book and be taken to a different land. You can be taken to a different country, a completely different world. You know, it's really infinite in the amount of places that you can go visually and through words.
Yeah. You know, believe it or not, we're out of time for this interview. Don't know where the time went, but we're going to have the opportunity to talk more about you and your work and the inspirational magic of Mother Nature doing your show. So let me say thank you so much for taking the time this afternoon to speak with me. Any parting words?
Earl, thank you so much for the opportunity to share our work and our love of nature through our books and through sharing with you. Just thank you for the opportunity, and we look forward to doing some more.
Thank you so much, Earl. We love sharing more about our books. We really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
Absolutely. And we'll talk some more in a couple of weeks. Just continue to do your inspiring work, and talk to you later. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
And we are back live, and we are so glad to have both Kunsi and Nina in our studio with us tonight. Kunsi and Nina, welcome live to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Thanks, Earl. It's great
to
be
Earl.
With you.
Thanks for having us.
You betcha. I tell you, it's been a wonderful series, and we're just so glad to be able to share with our audience this last episode, and you guys are certainly something special. Let me start our discussion tonight with an observation. It seems to me, in reviewing and reading your inspiring work, that three of your five books are based on true stories. Now, Kunsi, is there a reason for selecting true stories for your work?
Yes. I have been I feel blessed with kind of falling into these stories that have come into my life. And The Cormorant and the Clam have to do with Nina and her father. And they had told that story for years, and people kept laughing every time. And I thought, this is a great story about saving this shorebird. And then the summer a couple summers ago, being in Cape Cod, the story about Jameson, the juvenile shark that got beached, happened in my town, and it was in the newspaper, and everybody was talking about it. And I remember thinking, this is a great story. There's just lots of messages about people helping a shark, a great white shark. This is like the opposite of Jaws. And I waited a while because I thought somebody would write it, and no one did. So a year later, I did. And
all right.
I feel very lucky that these stories have been in my life.
Now, for those of you who haven't read the Kunsi's first book on the shark, it's called A Shark, Jameson. You have to think through, here's this real life situation that you can read about. It's all in the newspaper. If you Google Jameson now, you'll see all the stories back then when, you know, the whole area there was looking at how we're going to save this well and get this well back. But imagine trying to take that story, pretty serious story, and put it in the context of where young children can get it. How do you do that? How did that come about, the idea, the storyline? You know the message, so you know where it was going to go, but the storyline seems to pick up at a certain point and end at a certain point and just provide, you know, these morals for kids can easily pick up on. is that just in the perspective that you've gained over the years and being close to Mother Nature?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I am a psychotherapist and study psychology in the past, and I love good messages. But with this shark, you know, remember watching Jaws years ago, the shark, everyone wanted to kill the shark. And now in Chatham, because of all the harbor seals, there's all these sharks, great white sharks coming in. And this story happened to be of a young shark, and it beached itself. And I think the fact that it was young and smaller, and it was a beautiful beach day, and people came to help it,
it
just pierced me as this is the flip side of hate and fear. This is helping and almost endangering yourself by helping this shark with all its teeth. So I had to come up with a motive of why a shark would come on the beach. And the true story is, it's actually, you can watch the rescue on YouTube. There was a seagull nearby. And I decided that was my motive. That was my motivation. Because Jameson, if you read the two books, Jameson is a good guy. He's a social guy. He's a friendly guy, and he likes all species. So that's where that came from.
That's terrific. Now, Nina, I've got a question for you as we get started here. Now, I've also noticed that the illustrations in the A Shark Named Jameson book appears to be more dramatic and more detailed than the earlier books. Now, could this be attributed to the difference in the scenery, and now you're in water, or a growth in you as an illustrator, or both?
I think that it's both. I think that, you know, once you make one book, you know, especially with the Cormorant and the Clam, my mom and I both were really proud of it. And I think then when you do another book, it's about, I need to add more detail. How can I make this better? How can I make this more interesting? How can I paint a picture that really captures a child and makes them feel like they're there? And with Jameson, like my mom was saying, and like you were saying, it's like how to make a book that's approachable for children. And, you know, how do you make a very scary creature like a shark funny and cute? And, you know, that was a big hurdle that we had to cross, because it's difficult. There's a huge misconception of a shark and, you know, what sharks do and how they live. So when I was drawing it, I'm like, I want him to be colorful. I want him to be little. I want him to have buck teeth. I want him to have expressions. And my mom wanted to write him to be empathetic and adventurous. You know, all of these really great attributes that this little guy has. We don't want him to be scary. We don't want kids to be afraid to swim. Like when you watch Jaws, it's very scary to go swimming. Right. It's an amazing movie, but you're scared to swim. We wanted people to read this and go, I want to learn more about sharks. I want to learn more about the ocean. I want to learn more about his little friends. That was our goal.
Very good. Very good. You know, I just noticed we have quite a few callers, and I see there's a lot of comments coming in through the social media. We better get to some of those before we run out of time here. Now, remember, callers, if you would like to make an on-the-air comment or talk to Kunsi and Nina or myself, you must let us know, okay? You have to push the number 1 on your phone keypad, so I'll know that you're open to talking. I see a lot of you out there lined up, but certainly you got to let me know. Now, while we're waiting for someone to hit that button, let's go over. We've got a comment from Julie on Facebook, okay? And she writes, I believe that one of the most important and consistent lessons nature teaches is how very connected everything is, meaning that every action we take will create a ripple effect impact on everything else, whether we see it or not. Do you agree? Interesting comment. Your thoughts, Kunsi?
Oh, absolutely. Now we're getting into morality and spirituality, which I love. And I do agree with that. And I actually think both the Cormorant and the Clam Book and the Rescue of Jameson have those moral and spiritual questions of when do you help someone? And the next is, when do you help someone who doesn't want to be helped? And in both those cases, you know, and you know, what is our moral duty and our spiritual duty about that? And I think we do have one. I think we do
have a duty
to help.
Very good. Let's bring in a caller. I see someone has stood up. Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Hello.
Go ahead. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Who are we speaking with? Yes, I can hear
Hi,
you.
Hi, Earl. This is Clinton. How are you?
Oh, hi, Clinton. Good. How are you? Thanks for joining us tonight. You got to come in our
question.
Sure.
Well, no, I'd just like to say to Nina and her partner, not only are their works good, but I think they should always remember the value that they bring to the rest of us when they write and put things in text. When you see something that has happened in your own mind, you develop a thought, an idea, reasoning, and you create a picture of something that you see. Now, perhaps your neighbor or perhaps myself, I could have seen that, but missed the entire scope of what you portray when you put it in writing. Because the beauty of the writing is, through your eyes, we're able to see the world in many different facets. Because each one of us, as an individual, we're only as limited as what our experiences have shared with us, the feelings, the thoughts, the ideas we have. But when you reach out and you convey your thoughts and ideas from your experiences, through your eyes, it is embellished, and we get to see a whole new world that we never even thought about. So keep up the good work, keep the spirit up, and believe in what you do, because there's a wealth there for everybody to share. And I want to thank you for taking the time to do that.
Very good. Very good. Thanks for the call and for the comment. But let's try to get a couple of more here because we're getting pretty close to the time. And be patient. We're not going to get to everyone that's out there now, but let's take this one. This sounds like it really fits into sort of what both Kunze and Clinton had just sort of mentioned. This is from Mary Ellen on Facebook. She writes, finding a way to connect to nature daily, even for just 30 minutes, is so important. Connecting with nature gives me the freedom to explore and the encouragement to be mindful. How do you think most people connect or can connect with nature to experience this amazing inspiration?
That's a great question.
Connie?
Wow.
I think that
or Nina?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that we all do it in different ways. Some people love going hiking. Some people love sitting outside and painting. Some people, like my mom, they like writing poetry about what they see, or, you know, volunteering with animals. There's so many things that you can do to connect with nature, whether it's gardening or anything like I just said. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. That's the beauty of it. It's basically it's the world is our playground, you know? It's really special.
Kunze, right. You want to?
Yeah.
China.
Sure. I also think it's the world you that you create in your own life. In my home, I have animals. We have cats. We've had dogs. We have birds. We have horses. We have a lot of animals. And the places we choose and are fortunate to choose to live are quite beautiful in the creation of plants and wildlife, and I go walking all the time just to be outdoors and to be, you know, in the beautiful environments that there are.
Right, right.
So
yep.
I think we all have to create our own way.
Absolutely. That's excellent. I know we're nearing the end of our time. We did leave some extra time on this since this is our last episode of the series. But I do want to get Joe, I hope you're listening. Joseph sent us a tweet that I think would be a good way to sort of wrap this discussion up. He says, "The truth is we are nature." And he has R in caps. "It's just that many of us have forgotten this and see it as something separate from ourselves. How can we encourage others to gain this perspective and to protect our environment?"
Well, he is so right. We are nature.
Yes.
We're animals. And actually, we didn't have time tonight, but in all my last three books, I hope the animals and what they do and the events that occur around them will help parents and teachers ask children, "Well, what would you do in this situation?" Because mm-hmm. we are animals, and I'm writing about animals doing things in certain situations.
Right. Nina?
Right, and it all starts with you. I feel like with nature and making an impact, a lot of times it's so easy to wait for other people to lead the path, and you know, you can follow mm-hmm. and do that, but it really starts with you. The difference if
right.
you know, want to make a change, it starts within yourself. Like he was saying.
Right.
So, and my mom and he are completely right. It we are nature. We are a part of it, and we have an impact on it, which is a beautiful
right.
and also very scary thing.
All right. You know, last week or a couple weeks ago, one of our, Ann Anovich, who's an outstanding person and author, was talking about her book where her character uses his imagination, if you will, to go to all these different places. It was, you know, after death, but go to all these different places. And in his imagination, or in her imagination, I should say, the plants are talking and the animals are talking. You know what I mean? I just wonder, and the points that you made that we are nature and we are animals, I wonder if other species spend as much time trying to distinguish between each other. You know what I mean? I wanted to get into that conversation. They create a race or they do something to be able to do that versus realizing how small part we are of a whole. And with that, and because I know that we're already over our time, I'm going to say, Kunsi and Nina, thank you so very much for joining us here on Life Changing Talk Radio. But I am going to allow each of you some parting words so you can leave some thoughts and some ideas and whatever you want to leave with our listening audience. Nina, you first.
Well, thank you so much for having us, and thank you to everyone who wrote and called. It means just so much to my mom and I, and we've loved making these books, and that inspires people to go out in nature and learn more and use their imaginations and just really, you know, be spontaneous with life and enjoy it to the fullest.
And let me ask you, Nina, just got out of the university working. What can we expect from you? I mean, can we expect Disney or some big thing here in the future?
I would love that. I'm definitely enjoying working as a graphic designer in Northern California, and absolutely love working with my mom. And who knows what the future will bring, but I really hope to continue fine-tuning my skills and, you know, learning more as a mother-daughter duo with our books, and just, yeah, taking it day by day and learning and just having a lot of fun, which is the number one
yeah.
thing that we always strive for. Have a lot of fun and just really enjoy ourselves.
Well, I can sense talent, and you have it, and I really appreciate you taking the time to join us. Kunsi?
I also want to echo, thank you so much for having us. We really, really have enjoyed the opportunity in this platform to speak not only to you, but to other people who we can't see, but I'm so glad are out there and who have a love of nature and appreciation at a very deep level. And I just wanted to say that Our latest book, Jameson, A Shark Returns, has just come out and is available for purchase online, and it will be in bookstores soon. And I hope you that have little people in your life will enjoy the stories and ask them, what would you do in this situation? What if you were that minke whale? What if you were that bird? And have some interesting discussions to incorporate the wildlife and our nature together.
Very good. Excellent. Great having you guys on. The best of luck, and I'm sure we're going to hear about you guys in the future. You guys do excellent work. I am Earl Cobb, and thank all of you for joining us tonight and throughout the month of April for this special series. Remember that all of the shows in this series, as well as dozens of other life-changing talk episodes, are available free of charge on our blog page at blogtalkradio.com/richerlife. Until our next live series, I ask you to make an effort to inspire not just the people you know or the people you love, but all of the people that you come in contact with every day. And you can do this easily by living a richer life. Have a good evening.
You've been listening to Living a Richer Life with Earl and Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb. Thank you for joining us this evening. And we'll look forward to having you back again at the same time next Thursday.